broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're very happy to be with you. Thank you for joining us for our news and information hour now with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. We go through the news stories, we comment, we try and make sense out of it. It's more difficult with these two nuts, but every now and again you guys have your points, so don't worry.
Yeah, can't just bleed into it like beating up on us.
Yeah, you got to give us a little bit of credit, you know. Sure, yeah, fine. I mean, I was just, you know, you're right. I'm sorry. Bud and Robert oftentimes lead me into a direction that I wished I'd never been born.
It's a good direction.
It's a good direction. Don't forget, online at philhendryshow.com is our videocast every night. If you'd like to watch as well as listen, you can go over there to our videocast, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, and you can get a backstage pass, which enables you to be a part of all of the marvelous things that we've got over there. We have thousands of hours of full shows. We're very proud of our radio show. It goes back some, the archives, anyway, go back like 13 years, and we have as well our podcasts. We have, those are daily, and they are unedited. Well, they are edited. There's no commercial content, so if you want to hear the show as a podcast, you can subscribe there. And you can watch our five-day video archive. It's at philhendryshow.com. Coming to our merchandise shop very soon will be some Bobby Dooley trinkets, I think you'll dig. So that's ahead there at philhendryshow.com. Demi Moore has been hospitalized. She appeared to be suffering a seizure, according to the story that I have here. I don't know whether this is from TMZ. Oh, it's E! Online. A female friend was at Moore's home when the actress started, quote, shaking and otherwise acting like she was suffering from a seizure. A source familiar with the Los Angeles Fire Department incident report tells E! News. The friend then called 911, and about 30 minutes after paramedics arrived, they determined that Moore should be taken to the hospital. Now, after being hospitalized, the Margin Call star opted to seek further professional help for exhaustion and to improve her overall health, Moore's rep said in a statement. She looks forward to getting well and is grateful for the support of her family and friends. Sources who saw Moore as recently as last week tell E! News that the actress has been looking increasingly thin, and we hear that friends were concerned about her weight. This is E! Speaking in that marvelous first-person journalism that those entertainment sites use and that can sometimes just drive you completely out of your mind because it sounds like they're being frivolous. Now,
yeah, it sounds like they don't care.
Right. Moore's rep confirmed that the star has dropped out of the Linda Lovelace biopic Lovelace, in which she had been cast as feminist icon Gloria Steinem.
Why don't you be, Linda Lovelace?
Because she might be too old for the part, I'm sorry to say. I mean, we all remember Demi Moore. It seems to me that she is forever young, you know.
I don't even remember her.
Oh, why don't you stop? You know who she is.
Yeah.
You don't remember any movies she's been in?
Not really. Well, wait, Jean,
yeah. Who the hell is Jean? Now you guys are starting off down that road that I was referring to. Now I don't know what you're talking about.
Your G.I. Jane.
G.I. Jane. Jean?
What was that song by David Bowie?
That was Jean Genie. That's got nothing to do with G.I. Jane. So, yeah, G.I. Jane, boy, that good memory there, bud. Talk about a lousy movie. Are you crazy?
That movie was bitching.
Oh, yeah, sure. That was a ridiculous film, an asinine film. Who the hell talked her into? Who talked Viggo Mortensen into that one? He's a great actor. Great actor. All right, what am I saying? You know, I don't want to judge a guy's choices. I mean, the cat probably needed the bread. What the hell, you know?
Well, that's a hell of a thing about a great actor, say, guy gonna do garbage.
Well, I don't know. Viggo Mortensen, the first thing I ever saw him in was that Carlito's Way. He was fantastic. Everything I've ever seen him in, he's great. And, you know, and of course, the big home run he hit was the Lord of the Thing, you know?
You didn't like all three of the Lord of the Thing.
Exactly. And,
What did he play, Gollum?
No, he didn't play Gollum. He played the King, Jack. The King. The Return of the King, you know?
I don't know nothing about that. That's all white people stuff. Yeah, but it's a... You ought to look at it because it shows about a superior civilization. Hey, Mick, come on. Always try to bait on me, man.
You know, every time you say that, I can tell you, bud, superior civilization. I know that you're trying to piss him off.
I was just kidding around. I'm sorry, Robert. You always do it, though, on purpose, man. I'm sorry. I just
Now that's very nice, bud. Say I'm sorry to him.
I did. Say it again. Now I'm not gonna. Say it again.
Don't make him, man. You can't make him by putting your hands around his throat.
I'm sorry.
God. It's unbelievable, man. I'm not 15 minutes into this hour. You guys are already trying to strangle each other. So anyway, Ms. Moore, there's no question that what has happened in her life has been bizarre. She's had this husband of hers, this Ashton Kutcher, who I have nothing, you know, to say against the man as a professional, but he was apparently seeing, in other words, there was infidelity in their marriage.
Yeah, but he had some chicks or something.
Well, that's bound to cause anyone, male or female, a weight loss and troubled. You know, it's really interesting because when you see a couple and you think they're happy, and you just can't use the usual markers. Everybody thinks they know. Oh, do you know that? Oh, they're so happy. I used to hear that all the time, especially when I was married. When I was married, people would say, when I was married, and my wife and I would see some people, and, oh, I hear they're really happy, or don't they look happy? And, of course, I remembered earlier in my life learning a valuable lesson from a friend of mine who got divorced, and I said to myself, you know, I'm never going to be fooled again by people who look happy. I'm never going to be fooled again by people who are putting on looking happy, because you don't know what's happening in their house. Everybody wants to look like they're happy. Nobody wants to walk around looking like they hate each other. People want to put on the look of a happy couple, you know?
Yeah, but if you ever read that Ashton Kutcher on Twitter?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I read Ashton Kutcher's stuff on Twitter. I read Demi Moore's stuff on Twitter. And for all the world, you would see the tweets that these guys were laying out there. They were the happiest couple in the world. They were very sweet to each other. They were very loving of each other. They gave each other little, you know, cute nicknames. And everything that they were tweeting, frankly, was very altruistic stuff. You know, they're talking about a charity here and a charity there, and please give to this and please give to that. So they were using the feed, I would say, ostensibly in a very noble way, you know.
Yeah, but it's boring for people.
That doesn't matter what. Sure, bud. What difference does it make, man? They had like 95 billion followers.
Man, they could say anything if they have a follower. Yeah, but it's boring.
Well, fine if it's boring. You came in here one night all thinking it was bitching.
What?
You were talking about Ashton Kutcher was tweeting something about a movie or something.
Yeah, he was talking about a movie and how they wouldn't let him do a trailer. It was great. I was following along and everything.
Okay. So it's not all boring. But most of the stuff they did was about their different charities they were involved in, and I thought that was a good use of, you know, who knows, who can say? You know, I don't know whether that stuff does any good or not, you know. But I've always said I've always believed this. If there's any good that celebrities can do, if there's any good that radio personalities can do, especially radio, it's making people aware of charitable enterprises. That, as far as I'm concerned, other than entertaining people, making people laugh, that's the only value that I got. I if you think for 1 minute, and I've said this so many times, you know, people probably know this by heart now. If you think that I believe that anybody on the radio, including myself, motivates people to vote or motivates people's political opinion, forget it. It doesn't. One of the things we can do, though, is we can motivate people in terms of maybe their attention to different charitable enterprises. And so anytime I see people do that, I say, well, now that's a really good use of your fame and your fortune or whatever the hell you want to call it, you know.
But people know who they are. They want to check it out.
Yeah, like me. I saw this thing that Craig Bierko is a great actor. And I think he's a great actor, and I follow him on Twitter. Now, do you remember the movie Cinderella Man?
Yeah.
All right, he played Max Baer. He played, Craig's the actor that played the Max Baer guy that went against Russell Crowe's character. He's a fantastic actor, and he played that character to the T. And so I'm following him, and he says, well, on his little Twitter feed, it says, follow this to help a kid that's abused. So I go over and check it out. And I went ahead and started following it, because I never would have done that had I not seen him tweet about that.
What would have been somebody like a douchebag?
What are you talking about?
If there was a guy you were following that was a douchebag, would you have done it?
I don't follow any douchebags. What the hell are you talking about, man?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, what the hell? Yeah, I think I'll follow some guy I hate. No, I follow people that I admire, so when they suggest something, I check it out. I guess I'm just human, you know, but I don't vote the way they want me to vote. I don't give a crap about their political opinions. I don't give a crap about any of that stuff. But when they bring my attention to something that helps maybe our fellow man, you know, I can get with that, man. I mean, that's the best way to use, I think, any kind of fame, you know.
What about you? You think you're famous?
I think I'm well known among my listeners. That's what I think. And so among my listeners, I may say, hey, this is a really good thing, or that's a really good thing.
Well, what's a good charity?
I'm not going to say right now, man, but I will tell you that we do recommend a site for if you are considering donating to a charity or donating to a cause that is going to help a certain situation, like when the Japanese tsunami happened, like when the Chinese earthquake happened, like when, you know, the earthquake in Haiti happened. There is a site that's called, I believe it's called Charity Navigator. I think it's charitynavigator.org. And that is an outstanding site to visit, and that will allow you to vet different charities. They are fantastic at doing it. They rate them. They will show you how much of their money goes to administrative costs, how much of their money actually gets to the charity, and what their history is and how successful they've been. It's very good. I would recommend it. I hope I got that site correct. Well, we can look into it. All right, coming back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Obama's speech makes pitch for economic fairness. We heard Raj Fanin screaming and crying about the fact that he's got to go back to Egypt and pay guys 4 cents an hour, and he'd rather be paying them 4 cents an hour here. For Romney's friendly code reduces taxes. This whole tax thing with Romney's pretty funny because people are just, you know, they're upset that the guy's paying so little in taxes. Well, that's the tax code. I don't know. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Guess we ought to be happy with Obama that Romney's not paid a lot of taxes.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The TRN Central Facebook page, by the way, is a good page to visit and to take a look at the different hosts that are on TRN and make your comments. The reason why I'm bringing that up to you is I've had people asking, well, why aren't you on in this market? Why aren't you on in that market? And we'd like to be on in all of the markets. And, you know, it's our radio show. Is just one of those radio shows that some radio stations get it, and some in terms of how to position it and how to place it and how to promote it, and some don't. But the point is, we're very, very happy to have you visit there and see, you know, ask whatever question you want in terms of whether our show is on in different markets. I'm sure you'll get your questions answered there. 2 years ago, Mega Upload founder Kim.com joked in emails with his new neighbors in New Zealand about his bad boy reputation before telling them his criminal past was behind him and he was coming to the country with good intentions. I'm a former hacker who was once convicted of insider trading, he wrote, before going on to say, in all seriousness, my wife, two kids, and myself love New Zealand and we come in peace. .com's emails came to light on Wednesday, the same day a New Zealand judge denied him bail following his arrest on U.S. accusations of copyright infringement, and a U.S. official confirmed the arrest of a fifth member of his company. Judge David McNaughton in Auckland, New Zealand, denied .com bail pending a hearing on February the 22nd on his possible extradition to face trial in the United States, saying .com poses a flight risk. .com 38 insists he's innocent and he poses no flight risk. New Zealand police, well, they found how many credit cards do they? He's no flight risk. I think they found a bunch of passports in his name, and I know they found tons and tons of credit cards. New Zealand police arrested three other Mega Upload employees last week on U.S. accusations. They facilitated millions of illegal downloads of films, music, and other content, costing copyright holders at least $500 million in lost revenue. McNaughton is expected to make bail rulings on the three later this week, or early next week. Now, just to catch you guys up on this story and what the hell is all of this, and you've been hearing about online piracy. And you heard the president reference it in the State of the Union address, as a matter of fact. It's gotten to be such a problem. He was talking about it in terms of China. The Chinese are, without question, running afoul of international law on a daily basis by not even policing their country in terms of copyright. There are things manufactured over there. I mean, they're just flat ripping off films, they're ripping off songs, they're rewriting things, just recreating, for instance, whole works and calling it something else, but it's an obvious lift. And so they've been doing that for years. And it's been going on internationally, this kind of thing. And Obama was talking about this in reference to China, but the more pressing situation has to do with not China, but Europe, New Zealand, even here in the United States. Now, we do have a copyright infringement act called the Millennium Copyright Act, and it works pretty well here in America. And basically what it says is, if you are a website, if you host audio or video, if you link audio or video, if you transfer audio or video or whatever, you know, copyright protected material, if you're a torrent site, It doesn't make any difference. People have tried to get around this by calling themselves Pirate Bay. You know, people are still trying to figure out what the hell they're talking about. We're a transfer site. You know what? The bottom line is this. If a copyright holder says to you, would you take the stuff off of your site, and you refuse to do it, then you're in violation of the law. And if you continue to refuse to do it, then there are, you know, penalties, and there are also ways that somebody can redress this grievance or find compensation. Now, that's all well and good, but when a guy doesn't take the stuff down after he's been told to take the stuff down, for instance, Pirate Bay has long been an outlaw group that way, and they've had their offices raided by the Swedish police, and they've had their people thrown in prison, and they've had their people fined. This is a bigger thing. This seems to be a guy that the U.S. could get at. And what do I mean by that? For those of you out there who don't understand maybe the pressing issue here, I know there's a lot of people out there who are workers. A lot of you own businesses, or you have a small doing business as enterprise. And if anybody was to use your creation, if you build furniture, if you write tech manuals, I don't know, if you're working on a house as a carpenter, you know, and somebody swooped in underneath you and took the business away from you, I think you can understand what we're talking about. So this is something that's not just about big movie makers, it's about the little guy. Now, this guy.com seems to be a guy that the U.S. government could get at. Pirate Bay is a tough nut to crack. The Swedish government was very slow in acting. The Swedish courts are very weird, but in New Zealand, they kick ass, apparently. And the United States decided to build a case against this guy, one guy running this site, a significant amount of money, and then on top of that, sites that are doing business with him. Now, here is where a lot of people don't get it, and I'm going to explain this. It's one thing to shut down a site that is illegally hosting copyright protected material that they're infringing. That's one thing. There are legitimate companies here in the country. One of them is a place called Cogent Communications. They were providing storage space for Mega Upload. When they found out that Mega Upload got raided and shut down, it cost their stock price half of all of the value that they built up in 1 year. It got cut in half in 1 day. Now, that's money, and you don't mess around with that. You can talk all you want about internet freedom, but when a company gets it in the shorts like that, what do you think they did? You got it right. They distanced themselves immediately from Mega Upload. They don't want to have anything to do with them. The same thing with a lot of file storage sites all across the spectrum. They want nothing to do now with any site that they think is illegally file sharing. So this is where the Harry Potter fantasy of a lot of these people separates from the reality. And the reality is, when you got companies that are shunning you, they don't want to store your stuff, and you are now isolated because you're costing people money, they don't want to have anything to do with you. All right, we'll be right back. That's as short a story as I can tell about Mega Upload. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We got Bob Bacon, who is live in New Zealand. And we're going to continue with this Kim.com story. Bob, take it away.
Well, thank you very much, Phil. We are here in Auckland, New Zealand. And quite frankly, Phil, where we were earlier in the day was in the neighborhood that that Kim.com was living in. He was living in a place called Coatesville, Phil, near Auckland. And apparently the neighbors said they never really met .com. He had sent them an email saying that he wanted to be a good neighbor and that he and his wife did not...
What? Oh, we let the music go. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, I felt...
Go!
Kim.com living here in the neighborhood of Coatesville. This is a neighborhood near Auckland where he and his wife wanted to settle in and apparently just be good neighbors. He had sent emails to neighbors joking that a criminal neighbor like me...
Why are you letting the music...
I can't do these reports without the music. Do you want me to sound like a gibbering idiot? Hey, you guys there?
Yes, go ahead.
No, I'll go ahead, but I can't do the reports, Phil, if I sound like a gibbering idiot. You understand?
Yes, I do. Go ahead.
Ken, later in 2002, he received a 20-month suspended... Boogaloo.
What are you doing, bud?
Get the music up. Got to recue.
The music's got to recue. I'm sorry, Bob.
So you made me sound like an ass, huh? You made me sound like an ass.
No, the music has to recue. We don't have an endless amount of music.
God. The New Zealand Prime Minister, John Key, faced awkward questions Wednesday about how immigration officials could have granted a .com residency despite us. If you guys let this music run out, I'm going to sound about that. You guys let the music run out, didn't you?
No, we didn't. It's a short bed, and we have to recue it.
Well, then why don't you guys tell me that it's about to run out so that I won't sound like an ass? In other news, but
it ran out.
Go.
He knows that.
Go. God, I'm tired. I'm so tired of this.
Let me ask you, can I ask you a question?
This is Bob Bacon. Go ahead and ask me a question, Phil.
So in other words, Bob, my understanding is you cannot conduct your life in any way, shape, or form without this music.
Well, that's a good question. Bob Bacon reporting here from Wellington, New Zealand. No, I cannot. I need the music, Phil. In order for me to have a life, I make love to your wife. I don't make love to your wife. I make love to my own wife. You see, I'm already suffering from oxygen deprivation from not having the music. I must have the music. Must have the music. Bob Bacon reporting.
I'm still talking to you, Bob.
This is Bob Bacon reporting. Go ahead, Phil.
You have to have the music. Where is the music? Is it in your headphones?
Yes, I have an iPod, Phil, and I can hear it running out, you bastards. I can hear it running out.
What happened to it?
It ran out.
We got to let it recue, Bob.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
What was that?
Sometimes I sound like a Native American doing a shaman war dance of some kind. I don't know. Anyway, Phil, this is Bob Bacon reporting. What was your question?
All right, so my question is this. You must have that news music.
I think I've answered that question a million and one. Yes, I've got to have the news music. Okay?
And when you leave in the morning and when you make love to your wife...
All of that. When I'm mowing the lawn, when I'm having a barbecue, I have a headset in with an iPod with this playing.
Does it ever drive you nuts?
Not near as nuts as it drives me when I start talking like a gibbering jackball with that whole... You heard it. Go ahead and pull the music down. You'll hear what it says. Yeah, see?
Is this a condition? Is this...
What is this, 20 questions? I told you the situation. Bob making and reporting.
You got to talk to me, man. Is this some kind of a physical or mental condition?
Well, this is Bob Bankian from New Zealand. No, I have no mental condition. Apparently, it comes from so much practice as a newscaster when I was a little boy that I can't not be without this music without feeling fear, feeling insecurity, and feeling as if I can't go on. Bob Bankian, report.
I don't know.
Turn it out.
All right, Bob, bye.
It's Bob Bankian. We'll see you later. And I will...
That's about as weird a thing as I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I looked it up, I tried to find it, and I tried to find it. I've done everything I could. I looked it up and looked it up. I can't find it.
Well, where was you looking?
I looked in a science manual, medical manual. I talked to psychiatrists. I talked to a medical health practitioner. What is up with Bankian? How come he's talking like a fool and he can't have the music, you know?
What'd they say?
Everybody just shook our head. We don't know. We don't never know. Now, I got one idea, and I don't know if you want to do it.
Go ahead. What is it?
I know a lady in Miami.
No, not voodoo, okay?
Not the voodoo.
I know a lady in Miami. He don't have to know. He don't have to know. But I go down to Liberty City, you know.
Not the voodoo, man. You don't know what'll happen. You'll turn the guy into the Walking Dead.
No, don't go voodoo on me, man, okay? I told you what that one guy said.
I know, but I'm better than that.
No, you ain't better than that. I don't even think I'd be better than that.
What'd they say?
Now, one guy said that if you start messing around with voodoo, you get addicted to it.
No, I won't get addicted.
No, I don't want voodoo. I don't want voodoo. We'll have to try something else. That one guy was telling me about how he was using some witch queen down there in Miami, and apparently she was so good at what she was doing, this guy got, quote, addicted to using the voodoo.
What do you mean addicted?
I don't know. He was just like, you know, casting spells on people or something.
No, man. No, he wasn't using it right.
I don't want to do it.
Okay. I got her phone number.
You got her phone number.
What's she in, her witch doctor?
I think she's in the Yellow Pages, yeah.
Get out of here with the Yellow Pages. She's a voodoo queen or something, huh?
No. I didn't say she was a voodoo queen.
Well, what's she in the Yellow Pages for?
Dry cleaning.
Get out of here. Dry cleaning. And the other thing is, I don't want Bakey and turning the radio on and hearing us talking about laying voodoo on him. You understand?
I told him that. He wouldn't listen to me.
Yeah, I did. Don't make no sense.
What do you mean it doesn't make any sense? I don't want that cat turning the radio on to listen to us because here we are talking about voodoo. I could get sued.
How am I going to sue you?
I don't know, but he's probably going to lay some lawsuit on me like I was laying voodoo on his ass. Can you sue somebody for that? That would be a very interesting question. Well, it is a very interesting question. It would be a very interesting answer. That's what I'm trying to say. If you found out that someone was putting a voodoo spell on your ass, I mean, you might want to, you know, excuse me, but, well, it's just voodoo. Yeah, I know, but I feel a little uncomfortable with that. Oh, what, are you afraid of voodoo? Well, why are you doing it? I don't know. I just got a lock of your hair, and I got some of your sweat, or whatever the hell they need. And I thought I'd, you know. No, I don't know. And I'd rather you not do that. Give me my hair back. No, you threw it away. I would. I'd sue and see how far I went in the courts, and they'd probably laugh me out of it. All right. So President Obama, with that big State of the Union speech. You know, one of the things about the State of the Union address that is never going to change is, for some people, it's a fascinating study in just the visuals. That is, what's Biden doing? What's Boehner doing? What are the people doing? What's the camera showing us? Nobody's really listening to the speech. And I've seen more comments about Biden. What is he, chewing on a lozenge? And Boehner. And, you know, we might do a little better if we actually paid attention to what these guys are saying. I say these guys, the presidents, you know. But he pledged, President Obama did on Tuesday night, to use government power to balance the scale between America's rich and the rest of the public, trying to present an election year choice between continued leadership toward an economy built to last. And what he helped irresponsible policies of the past that caused an economic collapse. I'll tell you the one thing you got to do, Mr. President, is you got to find a way for this country to get past the political blaming that goes on, because we're never going to get anywhere. It's just never going to, we're never going to get anywhere as long as asses are arguing about whose fault it was. And as long as that keeps going on, we ain't never going to get anywhere. And maybe there's some people that don't care, you know, but state of our union's getting stronger, he declared. In the last 22 months, businesses have created more than 3 million jobs. He pointed to renewed hiring by American manufacturers and borrowing the built-to-last phrase from the auto industry that he helped save. He sketched out, albeit vaguely, what he called a blueprint for economic growth in which the wealthy play by the same rules as ordinary Americans. Now, Mitt Romney reported his income, and I don't believe he's reported entirely his income. I think he still has to report his filing for one other year, but he was paying at the rate of 13.9%. Now, that sounds pretty good to me. And that's under the, you know, Obama administration. So while the president has been blamed for wrecking the economy, obviously, very rich people are still very rich. The hundreds of pages of tax documents released by Mr. Romney's campaign on Tuesday morning did not readily reveal any elaborate financial legerdemain or exotic tax shelters, while Mr. Romney's returns illustrated instead was the array of perfectly ordinary ways in which the United States tax code confers advantages on the rich, allowing Mr. Romney to amass wealth under rules very different from those faced by most Americans who take home a paycheck. Those differences leapt to the front of the national debate on Tuesday. Mr. Romney's tax returns were posted on his campaign website. Well, what were the differences? 547 pages of documents, the 2010 federal income tax returns for the Romneys, the couple's estimated 2011 return. They paid about $3 million in federal taxes on adjusted gross income of $21.6 million. The vast majority of it flowing from myriad of stock holdings, mutual funds, and other investments, including profits and investment income from Bain Capital, the private equity firm Mr. Romney retired from in 1999. The couple reported no wage earnings in 2010. Bain Capital and companies like that are an absolute study in what happened. I didn't say what wrong. I didn't say what went wrong. I said what happened to this country. I'm not saying... Because I can't think of a law that you can pass in this country that says you're not allowed to go in and make money. But Bain Capital and companies like it are companies that they don't turn companies around, ladies and gentlemen. They go in and they sell off parts of companies. They go in and they fire people. That's what they do. Don't give me this load of horse dung. Because if they were turning companies around, we wouldn't have an economy like we've got, would we? They stick people out on the street. They sell off the assets of the company. They basically destroy the companies. Now, I'm not saying that because I don't like Mitt Romney. I think Mitt Romney's a fine guy, but that's what they freaking do. And when I say that's what's wrong, that is what's wrong. Because all of a sudden, we have ways of making money that doesn't do anything other than destroy people and destroy companies. Well, and the only defense that I heard watching TV was this. Well, that's capitalism. That's the rules of the game. Well, it may be the rules of the game, and I understand that that's how things work. Do you suppose somewhere along the line, though, we've lost our way on how to make an honest buck? That's an honest buck. Sure, it's an honest buck. What does it do? What does it do? These companies are like vultures. They just come in and they pick the flesh clean from the bone. So...
Very nice speech, Mr. Henry, but it didn't quite get to the problem.
Well, will you listen to him? Man, listen to you.
I mean it, Mr. Henry. Very nice speech, but you don't understand.
Oh, really? I don't understand. Go ahead. What don't I understand?
That's capitalism, and that's the way it goes, Mr. Henry. And your speech is very pretty. Very pretty indeed. But it doesn't...
You get out of here. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry show. Don't go away, or go away. I'd rather you not, but, you know.
Truth is our bitch.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Very nice piece, Mr. Henry.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
And another guy says Richard Jekyll and another guy.
Okay, Richard Jekyll. Richard Jekyll was one of the... Hi, guys. Welcome back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We're just getting the cast members of Dirty Dozen because we were... Why were we talking about Dirty Dozen?
But we're talking about, I forget, Donald Sutherland.
Oh, yeah, Donald Sutherland's pretty funny in that movie where he was walking, he's reviewing the troops, he's pretending he's a general. Nobody knows that he isn't a general. He's just pretending, and he says to the guy, they're very pretty, General, very pretty. We were laughing because that's what you said to me, bud.
Yeah, well, what are you talking about? I was making a really good point.
No, you weren't making a really good point. You were mocking me.
No, you're making a big speech trying to be all pretty about it.
Yeah, well, you can't talk to Phil that way. It's his show.
I don't care. He can make a real pretty speech and say that it's all
Shut up. God.
Real pretty.
What possessed you to... Very pretty, Mr. Hendry. Very pretty.
Because you're not getting to the point.
I don't even remember what I was talking about. Do you?
No.
All right, let's take a look at the Academy Award nominations while we still have, you know, breath in our lungs, okay? Can we do that? Oscar 2012, Hugo has emerged as a serious Best Picture contender. Now, that's one of the stories. Oh, good Lord. Now, I want to just say on a personal note, I said this during our pre-show, that Gary Oldman has been nominated for Tinker, Tailor, something or other. I forget the name of the flick, but Gary Oldman's a great actor, and I think he's one of the best actors that I've ever seen, and it's about time that guy got nominated for an Academy Award, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he was. I liked him in that one movie, The Professional.
Oh, The Professional, yeah, remember that?
Yeah, man, what was that guy doing?
He's busting amyl nitrate cap. Who the hell knows what he was doing? Crazy-ass stuff, man, crazy-ass. Fans of comedy could look at the 84th Academy Awards nominations and debate whether the seltzer bottle is half full or half empty. Half full, the comedies Midnight in Paris and Bridesmaids combined for 6 nominations, while The Artist, A Romance with a Light Touch, piled up 10 nominations on its own, including Best Film, Director, Lead Actor, Supporting Actress, and Original Screenplay. Half empty? Well, the crowd-pleaser Bridesmaids was left standing at the altar in the Best Picture race, even as extremely loud and incredibly close, a September 11th drama, jeered by many critics, sneaked in. Also, the edgy comedies 50-50 and Young Adult were shut out completely. Another reminder that Academy voters are more comfortable with movies that arrive with a sob instead of a wink. Well, what did the Bridesmaids get?
I think they got, like, Best Actor and Best Director.
Well, that's Judd Apatow, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, Judd's a producer. Did he direct? I don't know, but we'll find out. Here we go. Comedy hasn't been king at the Oscars since the Carter administration. Woody Allen's Annie Hall was named the best film of 1977, and its star, Diane Keaton, won for Best Actress, while Richard Dreyfuss took home the Best Actor trophy for The Goodbye Girl, which is really interesting because Richard Dreyfuss has done some great movies, and he did, you know, Jaws, he was great in that movie, and, you know, what the hell was the one, well, I don't know. But anyway.
What's that mean?
I don't know. I just didn't think Goodbye Girl was the best movie that, you know, he could possibly... that could showcase his talent, but I'm glad he won. So anyway, in recent years, Oscar gold has been tilted toward uplifting dramas like The King's Speech and Slumdog Millionaire, or grim social commentaries such as The Hurt Locker and Million Dollar Baby. Social commentary?
What?
The Hurt Locker? Anyway, comedies in general don't get their fair share of accolades, said Letty Aronson, one of the producers of Midnight in Paris, blah, blah, whatever. There's also the elusive magic of comedy, says actor Jamie Foxx, who has a comedy background but won his lead actor Oscar for playing Ray Charles in the drama Ray. All right, so that's great, man. So where do we get the damn, where do we see the nominees, man? Here they are.
I don't know. You want the nominees.
What's the point, bud? Unless I got nominees, I want to see what... You didn't know I wanted nominees. Top Oscar nominees. There were few surprises in the 84th Oscar nominations. Find out if your favorite movie made the pack. Where the hell are the damn... Well, I apologize, folks. I thought we had this story, but apparently... Oh, here it is. Hugo, 11 nominations, including Best Picture, and the director, Martin Scorsese. Then there is The Artist, 10 nominations. Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actress, Berenice Bejo. Then, we already got that one, The Artist. Then there's War Horse, 6 nominations, including Best Picture. Moneyball, 6 nominations, including actor Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill. The Descendants, Best Picture, Best Director Andrew Payne, Best Actor George Clooney. And The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, 5 nominations, including Best Actress Rooney Mara. She was named after Andy Rooney and Wellington Mara.
Really?
No. All right, folks, that's all the time we have. I apologize for carving that a new ass. Oh, The Help, 4 nominations, Best Picture, including actress Viola Davis, supporting actress Jessica Chastain, Octavia Spencer, and it's all there online. Oh, and Midnight in Paris, Best Director, Woody Allen. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will see you tonight. Thank you all for joining us. And remember, PhilHendryShow.com.
Phil Hendry.